Hey, this is Threat from NIP, and you're listening to TCR.
That's right. Threat was not lying to you. You are listening to TCR, the Center Ring, your favorite esports podcast, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. Episode 28. 28. And dare I say, it's probably the best episode we've ever done. We've worked extra hard on this. We've had an extra day to plan, thanks to playoff hockey delaying it. Is it delayed, or are we just on time?
At this point,
I feel like we are constantly a day late. But that doesn't stop breaking news from happening after we record, no matter what. On this episode, we will always end with the micro, a segment of just a bunch of stories we don't have the time to get to. We'll have a little bit of Heroes of the Storm on the show this week. Heroes of the Storm making its way into esports drama. That's how you know it's becoming popular.
What's that quote? We're esports now?
Yeah, we're esports now, fam. Because Heroes of the Storm is having its drama. Which, that's what makes an esport, right? So we definitely will talk on there and maybe see... I have some hot sports opinions on that, so maybe correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm out of line. Will the meat to the sandwich will be the Olympics talk. It's everywhere. I'm sure you've heard about it. Is esports ready to become an Olympic sport? Is that insane to talk? We'll dive into that. We'll dive into that in the middle of the show. That's going to be our second segment. Our first segment, though, will be CSGO, Malmo, and a little bit of just CSGO news. Because Malmo, at this point in time, I feel like is old news. But there are talking points that I want to address. So we'll discuss some CSGO just in general to start the show. But first, I'll be one of your hosts. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Malmo ended 2 days ago.
And it feels like old news. So that's we were discussing. Anyway. We'll talk about some Freakazoid roster moves that happened last week, and it feels ages. That's just how it works. Anyways, I'll be one of your hosts for today. My name is Tim. The gentleman who rudely interrupted me in the show intro is named Brandon. How are you doing today?
I was just trying to get some more FaceTime in the first minute.
You gotta get your demos in, man. You can't turn in that audio demo if you're not on the show. I understand that. I respect that. I respect hogging airtime for the sake of getting your demo tapes in. So anyways, we are The Center Ring. You can find us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, www.worldwideweb.tcr.gg. You can find me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon on Twitter at BrandInnyNew, if he hasn't changed it.
Nope. Still the same? Yeah.
Good deal.
I think I'm rolling with it.
So that's how you can catch up with the show if there's any breaking news. Like, we're going to do this a day late because Dallas Stars have to play. And, you know, we can't do a show during playoff hockey. That's just impossible.
It's important.
That takes priority over the show any day of the week. So, but getting into what also takes priority over the show, and that is normally CSGO. That's normally what we'll dive into every episode, is something to do with Counter-Strike GO, because there's always something going on. So there was Malmo, DreamHack Malmo. It wasn't a major or anything, but still, nonetheless, it's a DreamHack that you need to pay attention to. Like you said, that only happened 2 days ago. It closed off on Sunday, and it's only Tuesday, but yet it feels like so much has changed. The world has moved on, but there are still things that I want to discuss, okay? Like, for instance, Tyloo. Chinese team, they've been around, okay? But no one really, I think, expected them to do anything. Well, they start by upsetting Team Liquid, knocking them out of the tournament, and everyone freaked out. Like, everybody blew up.
What's funny about that is Tyloo knocks Liquid out, and everybody's like, what's wrong with Liquid? Something's wrong with Liquid. And then
Tyloo decides to have another upset and knock out defending MLG major champions, Luminosity. So I asked you the question, and I also asked it in Discord chat, which no one is in, by the way. The fact, does Tyloo defeating Luminosity make Liquid's loss look any better, or is it still just as embarrassing? It's a, now, we should address, they were both best of ones.
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Liquid's was best of ones.
Yeah, Tyloo actually lost to LG in their best of ones, 16-7.
You're correct.
And then went on to beat them
in the best of three,
2-1.
Yes. Okay. I stand corrected. You're right. They did lose to them in their best of one, but beat Liquid in the best of one.
So Liquid, they went to overtime with Liquid. They won 22-19. In the best of three, they did not go to overtime a single time. So do you think, I'm with you, same question. Liquid took him to overtime in a best of one.
So just mathematically,
LG lost a best of three.
Liquid
without OT.
Top NA tip?
Top NA.
Just mathematically. It's done.
Exactly.
Done.
Yeah.
We settled the mystery there. No, but seriously, is this something that you eat? Is it something that even worth having a deep discussion on? Like, who?
It's
well,
not.
Well, geez, how does Luminosity and Liquid, do they look at this? Or is this one of those cases where just throw the film away?
It's
pat Tyloo on the back and say, so crazy good job, and we'll move on.
They got a bunch of comments, positive comments about their tactics and the way they were playing and how they were adjusting to teams. So, I mean, that's great. You know, the story about their manager came out that he was up all night, every night, watching demos to make strategies against, you know, the teams they were playing. That's fantastic. And it's such a cliche, but there's truth to it. When a new team comes in and it has been able to prepare for the other teams, whereas the other teams haven't had much,
or they might overlook
or not care about or haven't prepared as much for them, there's obviously, you know, there is some competitive advantage there.
And you kind of see that twice in this tournament with Godsent, which I don't like that name, by the way.
Me either.
But Godsent, which is Pronax's new team, they ended up also making it out of groups and into the playoffs. So that's another team that, for the most part, wasn't on radars, but they actually ended up being top four. So again, that's another example of just some of the crazy things that happened in this tournament. First off, like we said, so Team Liquid and Luminosity were eliminated. To further spit on the nation of Brazil, Tempo Storm, they were eliminated. They got 12th place. The disrespect for Brazil in this tournament. Like, how fallen can even comprehend the way the world just didn't show respect to the Brazilian scene. I don't know how he's even handling this horrible news. But no, in all seriousness, it was a crazy tournament. Astralis was eliminated very early on. NiP ended up eliminating them in their group. Dignitas actually ended up winning Group C, which was made up of Dignitas, NiP, Astralis, and Lounge Gaming. So that's, I mean, I don't think anyone expected that. So my question to you, so Astralis, they didn't make it to semifinals. So curse broken. Congratulations, Astralis.
Yeah, they're going to win the next tournament.
You didn't make it to the semifinals this time, so that might be good for you. But would you rather be them or Na'Vi, where you make it to the finals every time and lose?
I mean, I guess Na'Vi's making more money.
It's still, though. So Na'Vi, the storyline with Na'Vi here was, at the start, they didn't have Guardian. They did not have Guardian before the playoff bracket play because of his arm/wrist injury.
So their coach Starek stood in.
Yes. So the coach stood in and did fine.
Played well.
They made it. Did they win? They won their group fine. So there was nothing. No one questioned it. And then Guardian got the clear from his doctor/owner.
Probably mom.
Yeah, probably his owner saying, hey.
Listen, I tweeted about it when I read the news. I don't. your team is playing fine. The only reason I could see you wanting to get back as soon as possible is that you get a cut of that tournament winnings.
Well, no, I don't think it was that. That's Na'Vi, right? If you want your, if
well, and I understand the competitive aspect.
You want your best roster out there.
Yeah, but I mean, if and I understand this is a DreamHack Masters, but his team was playing well without him. Why not just let your wrist heal a little bit more instead of trying to jump back into it? Other than, like, you can't stand being on the sidelines and there's nobody there to tell you no.
I just don't think it's that easy, because you even see, I mean, physical athletes going out there with broken bones to compete. So it's the same drive.
Right, but I'm saying, like, there's obviously no trainer there to be like, hey, you can't do this right now.
If you're performing well, you know, then why risk hurting it more or anything like that?
Right.
Right? It was kind of like the whole thing that some of you might not even know, but Tyler Seguin and the Dallas Stars, he was hurt. Well, we'll sit him game one because we'll see if we need him. And then you see if you need them and then put them in. In this case, I see your point, but also I don't think anything was going to stop him or the organization from wanting to put their best roster out there, which it got them to the finals, and they ended up losing 2-0 to NIP, which NIP has been playing really well. Threat, their coach, who you heard the liner in the start of the show, he was back in the coaching role. They had their full roster in effect for the first time in a while. And what's crazy about this is even like before playoffs and everything, Threat was saying, oh, there's a lot of work we have to do still. And they ended up winning the whole thing. And that was with them not feeling 100% confident that they've done everything that they could to prepare.
The analysts and everything were commenting the entire time they were playing that you can tell they've gone to a completely different play style. They've gone from a looser kind of run and gun skill play style, like we're just going to outshoot you every chance we get, to a much more tactical execution type.
Which,
and it's definitely paid off. I mean, they beat Na'Vi 16-14 in you know, two maps of the best of three.
And if you look back, what, 6, 7, 8 months ago, that like when there was rumors of what is going on with NIP, that was always the observation, was they're just running and gunning. They're not even
right.
They're not even thinking, which oddly enough is a good segue into what my one takeaway from this tournament that I really noticed was with Envious. I'm watching Envious and they did get third place. Okay, so good job, you got third place. But just because you placed high and you played well doesn't mean that there's not room for improvement or concern. When I watch Envious, there was a lot of situations where I felt like they could have closed games out a lot sooner, or at least rounds out sooner. I mean, they were up, they had the man advantage, they had the positioning. You know, bomb might have been down. They had the advantage on whatever respective map they were on. And then they would lose those rounds. It would be 3-on-1s or 3-on-2s, 2-on-1s. And I would see Envious lose. They would push when they shouldn't have pushed, or peaked when they shouldn't have peaked. And when I see things like that, to me, personally, that tells me that maybe there's not a voice being heard. Rather from, that might be from the coach's voice. It might be the in-game leader's voice that they're not hearing. It might be their own internal voice. That when you're playing a game and you know, you're trying to figure out on the fly strategies. And with Envious, that's what I'm seeing the struggle is. That they're just not making those sharp decisions that you would normally see a top performing team make. Now again, I realize this all sounds silly after they won third place at this tournament, but I'm not looking at it from that. Don't look at it from where they finished. Look at it from where they could have finished. Look at it from the play and where you can improve on from the play. You always have to look at your personal play to decide where you want to move from there, right? Self-improvement. And to me, it looks like Envious is having an issue with the fundamentals of the game right now, to where you just slow it down. Don't peak. Or if you do, make sure you get that trade. And Envious was having issues getting trades, especially on like Inferno, for instance, they were just really bad situations where I felt like they should have came out on top, and there was just no teamwork. There was no communication, it looked like.
It's actually kind of, it almost seems like they kind of made the wrong decision letting Kiyoshima go in favor of picking up Devil, who admittedly, looking at it and watching a bit of the games, it was almost like Envious was playing 4v5 most of the time. And I don't want to like dog on Devil too much, but if you want to find a weak link, and I know he just joined the team, but that's it right there. Like, he was not good throughout this entire tournament. And you know, if you're playing a guy down, it's really easy to get behind really quick. That's essentially what they were doing.
Right. And I don't know. There's still rumor that there's going to be some more roster moves with Envious. I guess only time will tell. Surely, if there is going to be a roster move, just wait like 12 hours and then something's going to happen, because we're recording the show today.
And yeah, it never
fails that big breaking news happens either while we're recording or the day after. Never fails. I seriously think if you go back and look, it happens every time. But that's my takeaway with Envious, is that I think every team and where they finished in this on this tournament is kind of where you expected, or if they did be eliminated soon, like Liquid or Luminosity, it was just toss it up to a one-off kind of deal. There is no cause for concern as far as their play. There might be cause for concern elsewhere, which we'll touch on here in a second. But with Envious, that was the one team where watching, I was like, man, they could be looking a lot better. I don't know if they could be playing the same and still get third place. That could very well be possible, because you're looking at Nip and Navi, but they could have played a lot better.
Do you think that more time with Devil on the roster could improve? I mean, if you're saying fundamentals, it's more like, it almost seems like the players may have cashed in, like they're kind of.
But it's
of
almost
done.
Like I don't like watching. I didn't think Devil was part of the issue. It could have been part of the frustration of, we have this new guy and we're not playing as a team as well, so that affects everybody's individual game. But I mean, it was, you know, Happy and Kenny S left alive, and it's like, man, it's just the sharpness. They did not look sharp to me.
Gotcha.
They didn't look bad. They just didn't look sharp. I felt like they could have looked better, if that makes sense. But moving on just to regular old CSGO news, because a lot happened. So Freakazoid ended up stepping down, the very vague I'm leaving the team statement, which seems to happen more and more in esports, where these professional gamers just decide to leave it all behind.
It's strange.
So that he stepped down. He's currently in a sub role, which seems to also be a common theme, that when you step down, you say, yeah, I'll be a sub.
That's when you're still under contract and they're looking for somebody to buy it out.
So that's where they're at right now. Now, Liquid was generous enough to loan Adren to Cloud9, which I said from the get-go that I wish Cloud9 would seriously go after Adren, because I feel like they need somebody like him on the roster. However, that was very short-lived, because now with Simple, supposedly Visa. Has it been confirmed that it was Visa?
He said it was Visa,
okay,
issues.
All right. So it is confirmed, I suppose, that it is Visa. Simple is having Visa issues and is possibly missing the next month or two.
Two to 3 weeks, but...
But he's missing DreamHack Austin.
He is missing DreamHack Austin, and he will probably miss the ESL Pro League Finals.
Right. So this is what I think. He says 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, James Bardoff came out and said, if it's Visa issues,
I mean,
it's 5 weeks.
We've learned in the past, you don't get a Visa in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen. Now with him, he might be able to pull some strings because he had one before and it just looks like it lapsed.
I don't know if you follow Sir Scoots on Twitter, but when this news broke, he kind of went off a little bit on the Visa stuff with players, and that many of these players don't have working visas. They have tourist visas.
Which, are they much shorter?
Well, the problem is you're not supposed to make money.
Oh.
So if you make money and they find out and you have a tourist visa, they will be very withholding for any other visas.
Now, is that because a tourist visa is easier to get, I assume?
Yes.
Okay.
That it's A, because it's easier to get, and B, because the people telling them what kind of visa to get don't know what they're doing. The saddest part about it is that if one of these players is caught, this all comes from Sir Scoots, if one of these players is caught, since they're 1099 contractors, or they're private contractors, not employees of the team, the only person that suffers is the player. They'll take his visa away and, you know, deport him, and the team is like, whoa, he was a contractor. I thought he had his paperwork in order. Adrin, can you come play again?
No speak English. But okay, so that's where they fall, and now Adrin is playing with Liquid again.
Assumed. I haven't seen that confirmed. I assume
he tweeted it.
He did?
Yes. Okay. So he tweeted it. So I'm going to assume that is the confirmation. But because, so now, so to get this straight, Adrin was on Liquid, got kicked off of Liquid, subbed for C9. Now he's subbing for Liquid again with Kusta on the team now. So now we get to see Liquid in any type of variation really you can think of. Because before, now we saw what it would look like with Simple and Adrin, then Simple and Kusta. Well, now we're looking at it with Kusta and Adrin. So, literally, I mean, as far as
this
like...
This is actually kind of like a real roster now.
It really is. Like, there, you want to talk about roster moves and comparing which one's going to work out best. I mean, Liquid's management has their work cut out for them, because what if all of a sudden they just click and Simple was the problem all along?
You're feeding the Reddit trolls right now. What if Simple was the problem?
What if Simple was the problem? We've always heard that he was a diva. He was difficult to work with. Maybe. Maybe in a perfect world I can have that drama, storm.
I think he's an 18-year-old kid.
Well, I think that's an issue, a deeper issue in all. Like, you want to talk about visa issues and, well, how does this always happen? This always happens with visa issues and blah, blah, blah. Well, first off, so yeah, Simple is an 18-year-old kid. When you were 18, did you even know like how to obtain a visa?
No, I almost missed out getting my visa to go to Australia, and I was 26.
Exactly. So you're considered a functioning adult right now. Now imagine, because a lot of these organizations, the owners are in their 20s or 30s. So now they're responsible to make sure everybody gets their visas in a responsible way, in legal way, to get it for 5 other kids.
You know what's crazy is that just the implications of like the employment and the visas and stuff, the government does not move fast enough for esports. Could you imagine if Simple had to wait for a visa? He would have already been kicked off of Liquid and somebody else would have taken his place. I mean, that's kind of happened
and you are,
for the next few tournaments.
Because you mentioned like with the whole visitor, the tourist visas. Like, do you think I don't want to make every organization out to be the bad guy here, but I can promise you some organization out there is like, whatever, you get the visitor one. Who cares? It's the same thing. You could stay here and you can play.
Yeah.
They don't ever think anything's going to be following up with this to double check if, hey, are you really just being a visitor?
Which, because in the past, that's probably true. But now that you're looking at, you know, just for the CSGO majors from Valve, $4 million of payout over the course of the year.
With 1 million plus viewers?
People are going to start being like, hey, wait, where is that Russian kid that was on the NA team? Where did he come from?
They'll find out. The government will find out. Not saying that's what's happening with Simple, but it just leads me to believe that part of the issue in esports is just no one is really sure what the hell they're doing.
No,
whether that's the organization or the players, just no one really knows how to function.
And it's kind of like musical chairs. Like, you're going to have all these orgs that are doing the same thing, and then one of them's going to get caught, and it's going to be just, you know, random, sorry about your bad luck. And then everybody else is going to fix everything as fast as they can to not have the same thing happen.
Speaking of government and worldly news that can get everyone in trouble. Esports officially might be an Olympic sport. Let that sink in. Esports might be in the Olympics by, say, 2020. I think that's what they're voting for. A little background story. The IESF, the International Esports Federation, lowercase e for those wondering.
Of course.
It's a South Korea-based organization. Basically, full disclosure, I have the story from the Score Esports in my hand. So if it sounds like I'm reading off of that, I totally am. South Korea-based organization has applied to the International Olympic Committee for the recognition of esports as an Olympic sport. So basically, a little background in the IESF. They were founded 8 years ago to promote esports as a true sport beyond language, race, and cultural barriers. And what better thing to describe that than the Olympics? I don't disagree there. Do you disagree yet? If you were looking for something to be a true sport beyond language, race, and cultural barriers, the Olympics is a good place to start.
Yeah.
But here's, and I don't want to sound like I'm a negative Nancy all the time to the progression of esports. I just feel like I'm not as optimistic as the community. Because I feel like this is too soon.
No, it absolutely is.
Like, worse. It is not even, it is recognized in like a handful of countries as a real sport. That just happened. Like France and China just recognized it as a real sport. And all of a sudden we want to go to the Olympics? Like, hold up. We don't even have a players union. We have to have pro bono organizations to give the players advice. And yet we want to go to the Olympics? Does that not seem a little insane?
I mean, we can't even... Esports has an underage betting problem, for God's sake. Like, this is not the community. This is not... And I'm not trying to say that the Olympics are some higher power that we should all strive to be. I don't really care. I mean,
the Olympics, ask anyone. The Olympics have their own flaws themselves. I mean, this is right. An organization where almost took wrestling out to be an official sport that's been there since day one because of cost basis. It's right. Just, it was not a popular one, so they were going to boot it. So the Olympics has their flaws.
But I don't think esports is mature enough to be considered for the Olympics.
And I agree. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's not a, you'll notice, I or Brandon have not once brought up the fact that it's not physical. Because the Olympic has things like chess in it. Now, chess started out, 1999 was the first appearance of chess. Okay? To put it in perspective, though, on how long chess was around before people thought, maybe this can be in the Olympics. In 1886 was the first world championship of chess. And chess has been around since 600 AD. So it's been around for a couple of years, and it's just now relatively a new Olympic sport that started in 99.
You know what this is to me?
Esports is literally, I know esports has been around for a long time, but in this form, esports hasn't even begun.
To me, when I look at this, so there's two things that pop out. First, I've never heard of the IESF before.
They've been around a while.
And I see here that, like, once again, I also have the Score Esports article up, that they're an official signatory of the World Anti-Doping Agency for Esports. So they promise that, I guess, the players won't take Adderall.
Yeah, they signed up with that federation.
And the other thing that jumps out at me is that there's no serious qualifications to apply to be recognized by the International Olympic Committee.
Well, and this is one thing too that's I feel is going to be a big hurdle if esports is to ever make it in the, I feel like, and I will use the IESF for example, they have a better chance of just organizing a really legitimate World Cup of esports, whatever you want to call it. I'd rather just call it the World Cup of esports every 2 years or whatever. Make it mean something. Don't make it every year. We don't need a World Cup every year, but make it every 2 years, like the regular World Cup.
Well, they have that already.
I need an official, like a real one.
Right, but I mean, they've got one that has the countries that participate.
Make
but
it
it's
an
like
event.
Second tier teams, because none of the tier one players want to break away from their regular teams to go play for that.
And it's also an issue that most teams are already, I mean, based off of the country's best anyways. Like, if you had to pick, you know...
We're just now starting to see...
If you had to pick
mingling.
Sweden, wouldn't you just pick Fnatic anyways?
Yeah, we're just now starting to see, especially here in North America, because our talent pool is like shallower than a kiddie pool. We're bringing players over, so eventually I think it's going to mix up, especially if it's like every other North American sport where we will throw gobs of money at people to come play here.
But one thing that I think is going to be a hurdle, if they ever want esports, if we ever want to see esports in the Olympics, is esports is such a broad term. I mean, look at every, I mean, anything that has a tournament and a prize pool is called an esport.
Oh, what was that game?
There's the Clash of Kings or whatever.
That's the one, yeah, that has
Clash
that.
Of Kings has an esports division. Madden has an esports division. Forza Motorsports has an esports.
Yeah.
Everything that has a tournament is considered an esports now. And there's going to have to be a committee that has to not only convince the Olympic Committee that esports needs to be there, but now they have to convince them what games have to be there. Like, what makes Counter-Strike so much more qualified, say, over Overwatch? Or what makes Dota more qualified than League of Legends? Are we going by just popularity? Is that going to be their thing? Is like, look, this could bring you a lot of money.
And then you run the risk of game developers being held hostage by whatever the committee decides is going to be a legit esport game and what's not. Because how many games we got coming out now that their entire marketing strategy is to become a popular esport?
I mean, almost every game.
Every single one of them. Yeah.
Every game has some...
Even the Doom game is trying to do that.
Yeah. And Doom. I mean, whoever thought Doom was going to even try to do that?
So,
that's one of the biggest hurdles I feel like is going to happen. The other thing is, and they even mentioned this in the Scores article, that an additional hurdle that they have to overcome, not only is the IOC, it's the recognition is a Sports Accord membership. And what that is the membership in Sports Accord basically means that esports fits their definition of a sport.
Do you have that in front of you?
Yes. Oh, like the definition? No, I don't.
Do you want it?
Do you have it in front of you? Yeah, give me it.
So it has to be categorized as primarily physical or mind or motorized or coordination or animal supported. So like,
that's weird. But
what do they call the stuff
like
with
horse?
Like the falcon.
Okay.
I guess yeah.
I mean that's I just anyway. Animal supported. Okay. I mean no,
so
I'm
any
not
it
arguing,
can be
it
categorized in any of those things.
And esports
sport
can
as primarily mind. The sport accord definition of a sport, it has to have an element of competition.
Which it does.
It should not rely on any element of luck specifically integrated to the sport, which I think would be a huge freaking hurdle because people purposely code in luck to make it more competitive.
That's RNG.
Looking at you at RNG, yep. It says should not be judged to pose an undue risk to the health and safety of its athletes and participants. Also could be argued sitting for 15 hours a day and playing video games could pose a health risk.
We just got to get like Pasha in there. Just make Pasha the poster boy.
He plays esports. It can't be harmful to any living creature. There's so much trash you can go into that. And not rely on equipment that is provided by a single supplier. which is not a problem because computers.
I mean, sponsorships, but whatever. I mean,
and then lastly, whatever. It says any applications for mind games, which I assume is what esports would fall under, will only be considered after consultation with the International Mind Sports Association. So not only do they have to go through the IOC Sport Accord, but they also have to go through the IMSA.
And here's my theory on this. So esports is not, I mean, esports is becoming more popular, right? Not only for the sake of it's actually earning its right as far as a credible competition, but also Alchemist even tweeted this out, friend of the show, that it's either, you know, some of us view this as a sport and some of us view this as marketing. So that's helping esports both good and bad. The fact that the competition is becoming good enough to where it's relevant, to where people who don't play the games are even into it because they can respect the competition. But at the same time, it's bad because big companies don't really care about the sport itself. They just see youth and impressionable audiences. But however, the Olympic Committee and this Mind Committee and all that, I can't imagine are like the youngest crowd.
Oh, absolutely.
You're fighting a bunch of olds to convince them that video games, they don't see it as esports. Like, get that out of your head right now, that you're going to convince them with your Reddit petition that it's a real sport. Because the olds in the Olympic Committee are not going to view this as an esport. They are going to view it as video games. They're going to view it as Mario. There's no way that they can go with it in an open mind. I just feel like...
I mean, I do look at the leader of the IESF, and he's not like a young guy.
There's exceptions. Don't get me wrong. He gets it, yeah, because he's the head of the Esports Federation. He is not the head of the Olympic Committee. Or Mind Sports.
I would love for them to change the acronym because IESF does not roll very well.
What about just IEF?
That's right, yeah. Why does it have to have an S in it?
Because you got to have a lower cap E. Duh. Yeah. So overall, do I think it's going to happen? No. Mainly because I think it's way too early in the life of esports. Way, way, way too early. I mean, we aren't even considered a sport in 99% of the countries that matter. B, I'm with you. I think it's not time. We don't need to rush esports.
To me, this is a chance at free, positive public relations for the IESF.
Like, it's as far as getting the public on them, their sides?
I think they know. So when I was talking earlier about the two things that jumped out at me, I think they know that this would never happen. But the fact that they're trying, I now know what the IESF is.
And you think that they're doing this partially just to...
Yeah, I think it's a PR move from top to bottom. Because there's no one in their right mind that thinks this esports is going to get recognized as an Olympic sport.
It would be hard to press. I don't think it's... I don't know. I honestly don't know. When I saw this, I just kind of shook my head and laughed and thought, there's no way someone thought this was going to work, whether it was a PR move or not. There's the uphill battle is ridiculous, and I think it's almost ridiculous that we think that it can be an Olympic sport just yet.
And what's going to be hilarious though is when the IOC denies it. Like when they say like there's no, you know, this is not going to be an Olympic sport.
Oh, the uproar is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be like
everybody will take this personal. It will be a personal attack on everybody.
It's a win-win situation for the IESF. They can be like, hey, we tried, guys. Sorry, you know,
and
come
you know
support
what?
Us.
What's going to convince the Olympic Committee more than a bunch of raging 14-year-olds telling them to suck it? We'll keep an eye on it. I guess, apparently, when is it? Review recognition. They'll review the requests starting December. So we'll have a little bit. Probably we won't find out for about another year or so what the word is, but nonetheless, it's happening. it's happening, so at least we'll get a result here or there. But moving on real quick to the last segment of the show before the micro, of course, is Heroes of the Storm drama. As I said in the teaser of the segment at the start of the show, Heroes of the Storm is making a splash in the esports world. It's becoming more and more popular, especially with Heroes of the Dorm wrapping up a couple weeks ago. And now they have their own drama going on between organizations. Panda Global and Team Blaze had their own little dispute going on. Do you want to introduce this? You have it up in front of you.
So UTAA/Arlington, Texas-based, shout out to the local team, Team Blaze, not to show any bias or anything, has apparently lost their team. And they lost their team to Team, was it Panda Global? Kind of at the hands of both the team and Panda Global.
So
according to Patrick Smiley, who tweeted out, he said his players were poached away. Team Blaze was not a part of any negotiations. I'm closing the doors to Team Blaze until I can work out my plan.
And poach is such a strong word. Poach says a lot. Not only is it saying that I had nothing to do with it, but it's also like taking blame to the other organization. Like, it's almost like an attack saying that you poached the players away. So instantly there, you know it's good. It's good stuff that we're getting on here. We actually tried getting Smiley on the show. He denied us swiftly and firmly.
At least he got back to us.
At least he got back to us. But he did say he just wants to move on. He wants to move on from the situation and rebuild Team Blaze and focus on the future and not the past. Which, apart from him not coming on the show, which I won't take personal, I can't blame him for this, because honestly, what do you do, right? What, there's two sides to the story where Panda Global is basically saying like, no, bro, we did not poach anybody. Your guys came to us and we basically just facilitated their requests. And then Team Blaze is basically, that organization is saying, no, we were open to the idea of lending you the players, but never taking them. And I think that's where his statement of there was no negotiation, he knew. I think he knew that there was talks, but he was expecting having some mutual respect from this.
That's the gist. The players did play for Team Panda Global. Apparently Team Blaze, so this is of course he said she said stuff in an interview with Gosu Gamers, Panda Esports CFO David Wu said, I'm gonna pronounce this name wrong, Palms, one of the players for Panda Global, informed him, David Wu, that Team Blaze asked him to leave PG and play with Blaze for the third qualifier. He rejected that offer. The player rejected that offer and said he wanted to stay with Panda Global. In response, the Blaze players held a meeting with Shadow Smile or Patrick Smiley, and basically said we wanted to go play with PG on a rental basis to try and qualify for DreamHack. Cool, they're going to return to Blaze, blah, 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 whatever. This is where it gets kind of crazy. So Team Blaze says, yeah, go play. And then all of a sudden, Panda Global says, oh, well, actually, we're going to sign your team, and it was because your team asked to be signed because they want to play with this player. There was no like buyout. There was no negotiation. It was like, hey, your team doesn't want you anymore. We signed them.
No, it sucks, and it's... I mean, I don't think it's shady. Like I said, it's Panda's just kind of taking it where the cards are falling for them.
Patrick's statement, in contrary to it, was that the players were worried. I guess the new patch really jacked with some stuff for the players. Like, they weren't as confident in themselves. And he says, a set of fear was felt if they don't qualify. They want to be the best team but are afraid to lose and lose momentum. So Huge was just swapping players out in and out without cause or premise other than they didn't qualify. So they said the whole team started suffering and the idea was they left so that they could play with that with the guy that was still under contract with Panda Global in an effort to qualify for DreamHack Austin. And that kind of gives you an idea of how small HOTS is that or Heroes is that if you don't qualify for the one tournament, you're pretty much done.
They're willing to switch and change everything for the one tournament. Other than that, it's the drama of you never see someone like an organization call out another organization for poaching players. I mean, you've always been accused of it, and I guess you'll see it from time to time. But this is another issue that falls into play without contracts, without any binding agreement. I mean, the players can kind of do dirty to the organizations the same way you see organizations doing dirty to the players.
And, you know, you
like
feel
the
bad.
Contracts don't only protect the players. They protect the organization as well from things like this.
You feel kind of bad for Patrick, who, I mean, as far as I can tell, is a design student at UTA, and he's running an esports organization. And it's like, it sucks that you got burned, but maybe you'll put them under contract now instead of just hoping that it all works out, I guess.
I wish we could get him on the show just to pick his brain on how a 24-year-old runs an esports organization.
Props to him.
Like, how does that work? Because maybe he can't put them under contract. Like, maybe that's never even crossed his mind of like, oh, and I guess I could put them under contract and pay them, but I don't know. I would love to get him on the show. Maybe we can say, hey, let's talk about this and that and, you know, let the past be the past and look on how you're planning on rebuilding Team Blaze. Nonetheless, though, that's some interesting stuff, and I guess we can follow all up with it all when we are at DreamHack Austin, because we can actually watch this tournament live, which I'm sure the crowd won't be that big for Heroes of the Storm. Nonetheless, though, what do you have for the micro?
Couple things for the micro. The Star Ladder iLeague Dota 2 Invitational for Season 1 was over this past weekend, and VC Gaming Reborn defeated Na'Vi in the finals 3-1. They played best of 5. I can't imagine how long a Dota 2 best of 5 is.
Long time. That is the main event.
VC did end up taking that win there. It's Star Ladder. And kind of strange news, PAX East coming up in Boston soon is going to feature two Big Ten teams, Division One collegiate teams, playing each other in League of Legends. Ohio State versus Michigan State. Are you gonna try and watch that one? Root for Michigan State.
Is Michigan? I think the real question is Michigan State, which was my favorite college growing up, enough to get me to watch a League of Legends game? I think that's the real question there.
So,
and it's enough to have it in the background. I don't know why. Like, I'll watch any other MOBA. I don't know what it is with League. If you're a regular listener to the show, I think we've brought it up all of maybe twice.
Dota and League in general are so slow.
I'll let people who are way smarter at it.
Apparently, according to the ESPN article, 13 of the 14 Big Ten schools have official clubs dedicated to League of Legends.
Does it say which is what's the one school without it?
Doesn't say on here. Hold on.
I'm curious. What's the one school that's just like, nah, we don't want that.
I don't see it on
here. We don't want that.
So it's 13 of the 14 Big Ten schools have official clubs dedicated. Five of those clubs have made the ULOL Campus Series, which is more than any other conference. So apparently there's a series of games for this. And I guess the Big Ten kind of dominates it.
Well, good. If there's one thing that can help gain popularity, it's college. I mean, college kids will root for anything with their logo on it. So that's one way to conquer it. Do you have anything else for the micro, sir?
That's all I got.
Awesome. Well, thank you, sir, for contributing to the micro, because I brought nothing to the table this week. I focused just so much on the Olympic stuff that just rocked my world that I had no time to look for the micro. Oh, no, I did, because you forgot it. Nade Shot is making his own team.
I forgot one. What's it called?
100 Thieves. Is that not the, like, it sounds like a bad Swedish metal band. It's terrible. Terrible name. That does not sound like a name of a winning team. 100 Thieves.
Oh, Smash Summit 2 is bringing Smash 4 to its lineup.
There you go. See, we got a lot. Watch for the micro.
That was off the cuff, too. Like, totally. Yeah.
So, anyways, we'll discuss more of that, or maybe not at all, next episode. Episode 29 of The Center Ring, which will be next week. As for episode 28, that is going to do it for us this week. I hope you enjoyed the show, even if you skipped around. I definitely appreciate it and love you all the more. You can find us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Websites, worldwideweb.tcr.gg. You can find me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. You can find Brandon on Twitter at BrandAnyNew. Until then, we'll work on getting the YouTube videos up for these episodes, since we're so slow on that. Bear with us. But the audio is always up the next morning after we record and breaking news happens. Until then, though, episode 28 is in the books. 29 will be next week. Until then, take it easy, and thank you so much for listening.